Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same thing.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. This is Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 FM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. Hey, good morning, man. Great Saturday to you, too. It seems like it's finally here, right? For those of us in the area, you know what I'm talking about. There's less snow on the ground. I see some grass and green, maybe the first robin of spring or two. It's just a beautiful, beautiful day, and it's been a gorgeous couple of days here, which is awesome because who we're going to have on today is going to be getting you excited and thrilled and interested in going back outside again. We're going to have on Gene Gerkoff, who is the founder of Charity Miles, designed to not only make it so you get outside, but you give a little bit of back when you do that. I'm going to let him talk about that. That's going to be in just a few minutes. We just brought Dave Sparky Saganaki on too. Dave.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning. Hey, he's there. Listen to this, too. It's like it's rock solid. I don't know. I'm assuming it's our good friend Chris Zeman did something in the back room here. But the Wi-Fi is here. We've got internet. I've got Dave. What more could I ask for? This is going to be one of those shows.
You could be doing it outside like our guest is going to be talking about.
you got a good point. We could be doing it outside. Well, in just a couple of weeks, it'll be like we're doing it outside. We're going to be down in Louisville, of all places, at the Conglomeration Fest and Fan Convention, and doing it there. So that's going to be. We'll see how that all comes together. That's going to be thrilling, exciting. I think when we bring Dave on today, we'll have to, or Jay on today, we're going to have to ask. He's running a whole bunch of different RPG games. I know he mentioned it briefly last week, but they're starting to solidify that. So maybe we can get some info out to people that are going to attend. How you sign up for these shows or for these games? Are newbies welcome? I know it was a question that I actually received via email from someone about the games. I don't know enough about it, so we're going to bring the expert on in a few minutes here and find out from him. So all good stuff going on.
Can't wait to hear from Jay.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like I said, then we'll bring on Gene. Now, we're going to try to do it fairly quickly today. I say that every week, but we're actually really going to try to do it this week because Gene's got something really big happening today that he only has a little bit of time with us because he's kicking off a big change to his, or not a big change, but a big event today out in California with someone who's actually going, if I understood what he told me, he's got someone who's going to run literally across the country using the Charity Miles app in order to get some charitable donations for a specific charity that they're choosing. So that's going to be exciting. So we need to bring them on fairly soon. But there's been a lot of things going on in the news, in the week, and the day. I see now Microsoft is getting crazy. We talked last week about how crazy they were with giving up some free software pieces. Now they're going crazy. They're trying to get people off of XP, and they're offering up to $100 off of any new Microsoft piece of hardware. Like if you get a Surface, you can get it now for $100 off because they want you so badly and so desperately to get off of the Windows XP train. Have you heard about this?
I was excited when I saw that, when I saw the headline that Microsoft was giving up this money. However, it's just for hardware. I mean, the problem people are having is they've got, not everybody's going to have to replace this hardware or upgrade. It would be much better, I think, to have some kind of cost reduction on Windows 8 or 7. I think that would remedy the problem much better. As we've talked about before, April 9th isn't that the cutoff date for support for XP?
Yes. Yeah, I believe that's exactly correct. Exactly correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen people scurrying around in institutions and stuff. I've seen people scurrying around in workplaces and institutions trying to upgrade their, a lot of people are, because of all the complaints about Windows 8, people are upgrading to Windows 7, which is kind of crazy. The cost is about the same to upgrade to either one. Why would you, Windows 7 has been, Windows 8's been out for over like a year and a half, something like that. So why would you not go with a newer operating system? To me, it doesn't seem that much harder. If you're going to have a learning curve anyway, you might as well go with the later.
I hear what you're saying, and I agree with that intellectually, but I can absolutely understand the people who are saying no Windows 8. I'm going to do Windows 7. Windows 7 looks much more similar at first blush to the Windows XP environment, and so I get it. I get that. I agree with you. If you're going to be converting, especially in an enterprise organization or a larger organization, if you're going to be upgrading your systems anyways, why the heck not? Just go up to Windows 8. I mean, really, I think this though, it's going to be interesting to see. I think in the next 3 to 6 months. Now, you have to ask yourself, why is Microsoft seemingly getting kind of anxious about this transition period here? I mean, this should just translate into tons and tons of cash flowing into their coffers as people migrate off of the XP. This is something that happens all the time is, software comes to an end of life and people move on to the next version. Unfortunately, though, right now, I think we're at a bit of a juncture point for these operating systems where you've got real competitors and real options out there, even for companies that have been Microsoft, through and through for decades, literally decades. Now there's an option. You could say, you know what? We're not going to do this again. Instead, I'm going to buy a whole bunch of cheap Chromebooks for everybody. Yeah, you can still do Microsoft Office, but you're not going to do it on your Windows 8, your Windows 7, your Surface, whatever. You're going to do it on a Chromebook because it looks and feels a lot like the old Windows XP anyways. And you're going to use Office 2013, which is available online, and either buy licenses or not because you can use it free. Or maybe you're going to say, look, ideally, you're all going to be using Google Docs, Google Apps, Google Sheets, all that business on your Google Chromebook, and now you're not even using Microsoft at all. I think that's going to happen. I think we're going to have a number of companies that are doing exactly that.
And, of course, there's always the Linux option. When we talked in the past about Microsoft possibly offering free Office or free operating system. Mm-hmm. And right now that's not what's happening at all. And of course they have not given up their mercenary ways. They're coming out very soon with Office for the iPad.
Yes.
However, that's a free app. However, you need to subscribe to Office 360 online, which we know is actually in the long run is more expensive than actually buying Office.
Yes, exactly. Now what they have released at least Microsoft OneNote for iPad is free now, or for Mac OS is free now, which is a nice alternative to Evernote. And this is why I think they're going to get more and more frantic about this. If you're thinking right now about, oh, I'm going to take advantage of this $100 and all that, I would actually... I would almost, and please don't come back and complain to me if this doesn't work out for you, but I would almost recommend saying keep your money in your pocket for another month and see what happens. Because if enough companies do decide to at least experiment with ditching Microsoft, Microsoft's going to have to work harder and harder to make this attractive. And with the option of Google out there, with the option of, as you said, Linux and other alternatives, it's just tough, I think, for them to continue to make that case that you need the full-blown Microsoft suite, that you need to pay for all the... Now, alternatively, I've seen the other extreme. Now, you've said you've seen a lot of people scrambling. I've seen a lot of people as well saying, whatever. I'm just keeping my laptop. It's XP. I've been fine with it for 6 years, and it's going to be good for another one or two. And when it dies, that's when I'll worry about it. I'm not going to struggle and upgrade now.
Yeah, the Well, you know, we're talking about enterprise and government being affected by this, but what really the people who are really going to be impacted the hardest by this are people that are most vulnerable and to being on the other side of the digital divide. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of people that donate their XP computers to charities for wounded veterans or people with disabilities, that sort of thing. There's a whole lot of computers running XP that are kind of helping to address the digital divide. And this is really going to hit them hard. Mm-hmm. And given that Bill Gates has spent so much money helping people, this is kind of an ironic twist that something so simple as not upgrading or updating or patching Windows XP are going to affect so many people in a bad way.
Yeah, no, that, you know, you've got a good point. I actually did not think of it in that perspective. And I know when I was managing IT here for the school districts, that was what we did with our older computers. Now, it's very costly to try as an organization to refurbish and return these computers back out into the wild, but there's a lot of groups around that do exactly that. I unfortunately, I can't remember the name of the organization that was doing it here locally. It's the name of a saint, actually, and I can't recall it, but they would do that job for you. You could donate any junk garbage computer that you happen to have. They would clear it, clean it, refurb it. You know, they appreciated it if you would leave as much on there as you could, you know, as far as operating system and utilities and software and so on. But they would take care of it and make sure that it got into the hands of people that otherwise could not provide for themselves a computer or technology or connection for their children, for themselves and all that. A really good thing. And you're right. This is going to make it very difficult for that to happen efficiently and economically.
Right. Well, that's what's going on now. I like your idea of waiting a month to see what will happen. I think there'll be some political pressure on Microsoft to maybe modify this in some way. However, then you're sitting a month with an unpatched computer.
Yeah.
That can be very dangerous these days.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, you know, it's one question that the enterprise level SIS guys have to answer, but it's a different question for your home PC. You know, I would never recommend to somebody that they don't have a fully patched and managed PC, but quite frankly, if you're using XP, you're not using a secure system today anyways. And is it going to be all of a sudden, you know, open game for hackers 2 weeks from today because the support stopped on the April 4th? Not really. I mean, it's not going to be a dramatic difference. I wouldn't be happy if somebody told me 6 months from now, hey, yeah, I love this XP machine that I've got. But you know, if you have to hold off and wait until May, I find it tough in my heart to be upset with somebody about that. Hey, you know, speaking of, we got to move here. We're almost a quarter after. I'm going to bring Jay on, see if he's available. I'm hoping that he is. Like I said, I want to nail him down on finding out how. I believe the answer is they're very open to newbies at the conglomeration gaming tables. But I'm going to. Hey, good morning.
Hey, Mr.
Garmin. Hey, there he is.
How you doing, fellas?
Very good. Very good. How about yourself?
I can't complain too much. I am reassembling my basement after water damage, and It's finally coming to focus. I may actually get to go watch some basketball down there today.
You know, people are going to listen to this show and think this is a rerun from a rebroadcast. Didn't you have this same thing with the water damage like a year ago or so?
Like 2.5 years ago, yes, and the foundation cracked again, and I had to take a wall down and get all that repaired. It's been like 2 months in the running that I did that. It's finally coming into focus that I can, you know, like today's a day where I put baseboards back and I moved the furniture back in place and all that sort of stuff.
Awesome. And now, of course, that your bracket is in ruins, you can just sit back and enjoy the games for what they are.
Exactly, which are complicated gambling exercises for the average person.
Yes. Exactly. I didn't even attempt this year, and watching the watching the results recently, and not being a huge fan, sports NBA guy, or a basketball guy as it is, this was not a difficult decision for me to make, anyways. Speaking of games, though, I did have a pertinent question. I actually got a note from someone regarding the conglomeration stuff. They had seen me, favoriting and reposting some of the gaming news that you had been posting and that Conglomeration had been posting on their Facebook page, which people can go and find very easily at facebook.com/conglomeration, and or conglomeration.info, of course, has got all the links there too. And one of the question that I had was, hey, I've never played Game X, and I see Jay's hosting it. Do they let newbies in? If I've never done this before, are they just going to laugh at me? That was the tenor of the question. I assured them. I said, I think it's going to be all right, but let me confirm for you on air. We'll get a good answer from the guy running these games. How open is Conglomeration if you're sitting down at a table and you're registering for? Now, I think if you're doing a tournament, that's a different thing. But if you're just doing a standard one of the games that you're hosting, how open is that to newbies?
It's for newbies. That's, in fact, the point is for newbies. We want to teach people games they've never played before. The point of the game room is to discover new games you want to go on playing. So not only do we not bar that is, in fact, the entire purpose of the game room.
Wow. Awesome. I am going to pull that quote. I'm going to use that. I'm going to be posting that on my page, but I'm also going to send it directly to the people that were asking me about that. That makes me feel good too, because I'm an old school AD&D. Well, I'm ADD too, but AD&D gamer, but have not really experimented or played with a lot of the newer ones. Now, which ones are you? We talked last week. You're running, I know, one about zombies, but I've seen a lot being posted about another one that I've heard of, but I'm not super familiar with. What's the hot game that's going to be played at Conglomeration right now, it seems?
Oh, well, that's $1 million question. I guess that comes down to where your tastes lie. If you're a miniature combat gamer, The Flames of War tournament, but there's going to be other Flames of War stuff going on, is probably going to be a lot of the focus for the miniature combat group. There's going to be Warhammer there. There's always Warhammer there. Louisville's a big Warhammer 40K town. But miniature combat, Flames of War is for little painted miniature models of different World War II combat, and there's going to be a lot of that happening. So if you want to learn how to play Flames of War, that would be it if you're on the miniature combat side. On the non-miniature combat, in terms of old-school, good old-fashioned role-playing, I would expect that the hot new game is there's going to be, I believe my friend Carol is going to be running the new Firefly RPG from Margaret Weiss Games.
Oh.
So I think that's going to be the one that everyone's going to be scrambling to get into.
Yep.
And so I don't know how many times Carol has not promised how many times she's going to run that, partly because she's also a panelist. And, in fact, I think I have just been after you guys have a three-hour block on Saturday, so you can do prep and break down and also do off-air interviews if you want. So you guys have a room from 10 to 1. But right at 1 p.m. I have to leave you because I'm going to help moderate and possibly participate in the Star Wars versus Star Trek panel that Carol is also running. So Carol's got a few panels to help out on. So. somewhere in there is going to be. I know she went to Gen Con and got the early copy of the Firefly RPG, and I think she's on the beta test list, so she's going to have some of the newer stuff.
Beautiful. Oh, that sounds great. And I know I've been hearing a lot about Pathfinder as well as being one of the bigger games that people are interested in playing.
So, for those that are not familiar with Pathfinder, and old school D&D guys, so Hasbro bought Dungeons & Dragons from Wizards of the Coast, right before Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition came out. And Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition broke from, it completely reinvented the game mechanic to make it, frankly, a whole lot more like video games, like World of Warcraft. And threw out a lot of stuff that a lot of folks in the previous gaming generation really loved, which was what was called the D20 engine. In fact, when Wizards of the Coast came out with the 3rd edition of Dungeons & Dragons, and we're going to go really nerdy here, but software folks will appreciate this. third editions of Dungeons & Dragons completely rebuilt what's called the game engine, the rules engine, around how to use a D20 as sort of the core die you roll for almost all mechanics. And they did something really brilliant. They created what's called the Open Gaming License. So while you couldn't make another Dungeons & Dragons using that system, you could use the D20 engine for any aim setting you wanted. And it was a great flowering of new games. So there's a version of Stargate that ran on D20, a version of Call of Cthulhu that ran on D20. Mm. If you learned how to play the D20 system, you could jump from setting to setting to setting and really not learn any new rules. And it made this sort of great standard for gaming that lasted from the late 90s for the better part of 10 years.
Wow.
And when Dungeons & Dragons came out with 4th edition, they abandoned all of that. And the gaming community said, whoa, hold up, chief. We appreciate you want to compete with World of Warcraft, but we're not ready to give up on D20. It's really great. And so Pathfinder has been jokingly called D&D 3.75. It basically took everything that was public property about Dungeons & Dragons 3rd edition and kept going. So it is 3rd edition Dungeons & Dragons open source from a group called Paizo. And guys like me that came through Dungeons & Dragons in 3rd edition, or people who just like Dungeons & Dragons style role-playing using the D20 engine, all play Pathfinder, and it's unbelievably popular.
Okay, that makes sense. I did not understand that. I did not realize. I thought this was like a completely brand new sort of thing that we had. You know, that may be something. That may be something that my friend Curtis and I, who's going to be down there as well from the East Coast, jump into and do a little bit of that. I know you're hosting a few of those as well, and that'll probably hit right into that comfort level for us of being the old men that we are. to understanding what's going on and not feeling too uncomfortable before we jump into some of the really new kind of games and things. Well, that is so cool. I love it that it's really designed around the newbie and getting people involved in games that they haven't played before. I've done a little bit of prep. I had some friends over so that we could play Ticket to Ride, so I at least really felt like I understood enough of the strategy to do that. I'm hoping to actually do a little Settlers before I leave as well. Because I'd like to play some of that when I'm out there also. But unfortunately, I've got to move us along fairly quickly. I want to remind people, it's still not too late, though, to sign up. If you're looking to go down to Louisville, conglomeration.info is where you can find all of that. It's easy to do. It's going to be a great time. You're going to see us there. And you shouldn't go for us. John Ringo's going to be there, of course. You've got just an incredible number of people and excitement that's going to be happening. But let's move along. And I know last week we were talking actually about PBS and what the most, because of course with the advent now of Cosmos being extremely popular again, and it was extremely popular back in the day, but Cosmos was not the most watched PBS show. There was another one that was even more watched when it came out.
So, Cosmos, The Personal Voyage, the original Carl Sagan series that came out in 1980, held the record for most watched public broadcasting program in history for 10 solid years. And then in 1990, a little something called Ken Burns' The Civil War came on and edged out Cosmos with a mere 40 million viewers. So the only thing more popular than science is history.
Okay.
Which, if you've ever been to a college and seen who's registering for what majors, that's about right.
Now, if only TLC or Discover or the History Channel would actually listen and pay attention to that and kind of get back to their roots, that would be a good thing.
Yeah. The TLC is actually a real sort of thorn in my side because I know how TLC started. It was a co-venture of some public broadcasting executives and NASA when it came out in the mid-80s. Mm. And then it went and got bought by non-public entities, and it's turned into what it is today.
Which is the Honey Boo Boo Network, basically.
Yeah. How many different ways can we search for Bigfoot? How many different ways can we be convinced that Hitler had captured UFOs, you know, all of that crap.
That's, and as you know, because you follow me on Facebook, any pseudoscience sort of junk like that, I just, it enrages me. It doesn't just bother me. It enrages me. So I don't watch it. I don't pay attention to it. I just try to ignore its existence. It's sort of like my relationship with Dr. Oz. I'm really much better off just ignoring the fact that man even has space on this earth, that he's consuming resources. So at any rate, before I get off on a completely irrelevant tangent, so what should we be thinking about for next week?
Well, this week is the anniversary of the launch of Gemini 3, which was the first two-man space mission in American history. Not the first ever. Voskhod 2 from the Soviets was the first two-man mission, and they actually had Voskhod 3, a three-man mission, before we had our two-man mission. But Gemini 3 is sort of this one of these big inflection points in the history of American spaceflight and spaceflight in general. Mm. And there's a billion questions I could ask about Gemini 3 because it had so many firsts. But the most famous first, or the most infamous first, is Gemini 3 was the first mission that resulted in a reprimand of an astronaut for conduct during the flight. Mm. So the question is, what great sin did John Young and Gus Grissom commit that led to the first reprimand of an astronaut during flight conduct?
Oh, excellent, excellent. I love to hear about our bad boys in space. And
and let me say, this mission had so much going for it because, you remember, Gus Grissom's first Mercury mission, Liberty 7, sank before they could recover it. So that capsule was lost. And so he nicknamed the Gemini 3 Molly Brown after the unsinkable Molly Brown. And NASA got all ticked off that he's giving these informal names to his ship. And so Grissom replied in public, "Well, how about I call it Titanic instead, given my history?" And they're like, "All right, Molly Brown's fine." But after that, they didn't let the astronauts pick the names of their ships anymore. That's the kind of dude we're dealing with. So his in-flight reprimand is not surprising, but what he and Young got reprimanded for is kind of funny.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, man.
I can't wait to hear that.
Absolutely. Hey, Jay, I'm going to let you run. I got to bring Gene Gerkoff of CharityMiles.org on here. Thank you so much, though, and thanks for clearing up this stuff about the gaming. Hopefully we'll get some fun and exciting newbies down there as well. Jay, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have fun. Bye.
Take care, Jay. Right,
take care. Jay Garman. And of course, jaygarman.net is where you can find out more about him. Right now, I am bringing in, I'm going to see if we can do this. I've got two screens going. I feel so high tech at the moment. We're going to try to bring Gene Gerkoff of Charity Miles on right now. It's always a good sign when you can hear the ring, at least.
There's some hope.
Yes.
Hello, Gene.
Good morning, Gene. Thank you, and welcome to the Tech Talk Show on WRLR. I'm glad we were able to make the connection.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. Very good. I don't think we're experiencing the weather, the wonderful weather that you guys are having out there on the West Coast, but it's at least getting a little bit warmer and getting us more excited about being outside and walking and running and things, man. So I was trying to explain just a little bit about who you are and what you do, but I know you're going to do a much better job than I did for sure. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Gene Gerkoff and, of course, Charity Miles?
Sure. Thanks for having me on. My name is Gene Gerkoff. I'm the founder of Charity Miles. And Charity Miles is a free iPhone and Android app that allows you to earn corporate sponsorships for charity whenever you walk, run, or bike. So you just download the app to your iPhone or Android. We've got 28 great charity partners from Feeding America, Wounded Warrior Project, RED, Cancer, Autism Speech, ASPCA. And many others, and you just choose a charity, head out for a walk on a bike. The app tracks your distance, and for every mile you go, you earn money for your charity, courtesy of corporate sponsors like Timex, Humana, Johnson & Johnson, and these are companies that want to reach out to our members and help them make a difference. So it's really a great app. We've got members all over the country doing amazing things with it, And I'm actually here in Los Angeles today. I'm from New York, but the reason I'm in Los Angeles is that one of my members, an amazing young woman named Anna Judd, is going to start running across the country in about an hour. She's leaving from the pier in Venice Beach, and will be running for 100 days, 40 miles a day, with Charity Miles for Wounded Veterans. And she'll arrive in New York 100 days later. It's an amazing thing.
Wow.
We're really not just an app. We're a community. We're a team. We've got all these amazing people like Anna and other people, even if they're just walking their dog every day, just really making a difference. And it's quite a special community.
Wow. What, did I hear that right? Did I misunderstand? Did you say 100 miles a day she's going to do?
No, she's going to run for 100 days, 40 miles a day.
Oh, okay. I was...
So only yeah. 40 miles a day. Like that, 100 miles a day would be crazy.
Yeah. Only 40 miles a day.
Only 40.
for anybody that's been involved in any run longer than about 5 to 10 miles or so, you'll understand exactly how difficult that is, not just to do once or twice in a week, but to do it every single day now you've done quite a bit.
But you know what, you don't have to run 40 miles a day to make a difference with Charity Miles. We say it and we mean it. Every mile matters. So, for example, with Feeding America, every mile that you run for Feeding America feeds 2 people.
Mm.
So even if, you could just walk to lunch, walk half a mile to lunch, get lunch, walk half a mile back, you just fed yourself and you fed 2 other people. Yeah. So it's really, all you got to do is a mile a day and you can have a real impact in this world.
What's really cool too is, you go in and you sign up, and I've got it on my phone here myself, and you don't have to select one charity period and that's the one you're committed to. For your lunch, you can do, one of the food-based charities or Feed America, things like that. But then if you're going out for your afternoon run or when you make it to the gym and getting on the treadmill or whatever, you can switch over and start doing one of the, wounded veteran ones or something along those lines.
Exactly.
So really...
Exactly. We've got 28 amazing charities. You can choose a different one each time. Each one allows you to have a real impact for a very worthy cause. And to help, we're not just a fitness app, we're a purpose app. So we allow you to add a little bit of purpose to your day. Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel just really great no matter what you're doing.
And gets you moving, which...
Exactly.
Which is...
Yeah, it does. It motivates you a lot. I mean... I'm the founder of the company, and I find myself, if I'm just walking home, and I get home, and I see, if I just walk to the end of the block, or if I walk around the block again, I'm going to feed another person. It motivates me to just walk around the block again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times that's all that it takes to get us moving a little bit better. Now, I've been very interested, of course, in the health aspects of running and jogging. I'm one of those guys that, I was one of those health nuts for quite some time. And so I know how valuable it is to have some extra reason to strap on your shoes to get out the door or to be making it to the gym. And this is great for that. Now, one thing I haven't played with it enough. I apologize, but when one of the things that I love to do, of course, and I'm a big fan of a lot of the mobile tracking apps that help us, the quantified self idea. How much tracking can you do, not only of the miles that you run or bike over time, but also too of the money that you've earned and the donations that you've generated for these companies over time?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it kind of goes to what I said before. We're not a fitness app, we're a purpose app. So we tell you how far you go, and we tell you how much money you've earned for your charity or the impact you've had for your charity. So if you're walking for Feeding America, we tell you how many meals you've provided, or if you're walking for Parkinson's research, we tell you how much research you've funded.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't go into things like the map of where you ran or how many calories you burned or how many watts you generated on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that because, there's other great apps out there that do that, and we don't feel like we need to replicate what they're doing. Those apps are about the map of where you went. We're about the vision for where we're going.
Mm.
So it's just a different thing. And if you're interested in all the other things like map and calories, there's other great apps that you can use at the same time as Charity Miles. We're about allowing you to dedicate, to carry a cause in your heart and have that be the one thing that we do and do really well.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, in fact, was, so can I, because I'm a big, like, Runkeeper. I'm a big fan of Runkeeper. I use that constantly. And so that was going to be my question is, I can use that at the same time. Yep. So I can put Charity Miles on, then I can kick off into Runkeeper, throw up Slacker or Spotify, so I've got the tunes that I need to get moving, and in a way
totally.
I go. Awesome. Awesome. Man, I'm not just saying this for the radio. I'm literally going to be using this later today then. I'm going to be throwing this on and using this later today. So now I want to hear a little bit more you got a little background noise. I want to hear a little bit more though. So I know that you founded it. What drove you to think of this idea? Why did you think this was something people would want, and what was the motivation for you personally to do it?
Sure. So I used to be a lawyer, and 11 years ago I was in law school. I started to run marathons to raise money for Parkinson's research in honor of my grandfather who has Parkinson's. Mm. And I started running, and, you know, it was, I always wanted to find a cool way to get corporations to sponsor me because I wanted to raise more money, but I'm just an amateur athlete. And so no matter how many marathons I did or Ironman or ultra marathons, I could never get a company to sponsor me. So I figured that if I could get enough people together, then collectively we might be able to draw the attention and make it worthwhile for corporations to sponsor us so that we could all be sponsored athletes, just like professional athletes, but for charity.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the idea. And so that's what we did. I made this app, which is a way to pool all the people like me and you together. And they have a very big audience, and corporations want to connect with that audience. They want to spend their marketing budget in a way that not only drives a return for them but does social good, and you know, we enable them to do that. So, you know, now you and I, we can all be sponsored athletes, just like, you know, Michael Jordan or Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
And but instead of us earning, you know, millions of dollars for ourselves, we're earning it for charity.
Yep. No, exactly. Yeah, that is a really compelling part of that story, is that, yeah, you're allowing everyone to be a sponsored athlete. Now, how do you choose the charitable organizations that are part of this? Do you handpick, or do they come to you and ask you that they want to be part of the process now?
Yeah, so after I graduated law school in 2005, I was practicing law in New York, and I was introduced to Michael J. Fox and the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and they were still a fairly young organization, and I started to do legal work for them pro bono. And I also helped found Team Fox, which is their grassroots fundraising team of people who do marathons and have bake sales and parties. So I've been very tied into the Michael J. Fox Foundation for almost a decade now.
Mm.
And because of that, I also was introduced to a lot of other great charities like Habitat for Humanity and ASPCA and Feeding America. So when I had this idea, I was able to call them and get their feedback and see if they wanted to be a part of it, and they were willing to give it a chance. I mean, something like this is a pretty big risk for them because a lot of times something like this doesn't pan out, and they don't want to put their name on something that's going to fail. But they were willing to give me a shot, and so we started with 10 charities, including the ones I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we grew and as we gained notoriety, all the other charities started to come to me. So now I've got like tons and tons of charities emailing me all the time that want to be a part of it. And I would love to be able to add them all. I just, you know, I'm a one man operation, so I don't have the capacity to add them all yet, but I'm working on that.
Yep. Yep.
And then I select the charities, like I'm trying to, because I don't have the capacity to add them all. When I select one, I'm trying to select, you know, a really great charity for each cause. So, you know, if you're interested in, you know, veterans, we might not have like your favorite local veterans charity, but we've got like two of the best veterans charities out there. We've got Wounded Warrior Project, and we just added yesterday Team RWB.
Mm.
And but that's something, so if you care about veterans, you can run for those charities or walk for those charities and feel really good. Or we might not have like your local animal shelter, but we've got the ASPCA, which is probably like the best animal rights organization out there. So we enable each person to go out, make a difference for a cause that they care about on a national level. And then the other thing is that all of our charity partners have huge scalable impact. So, you know, for example, one of our charities is an organization called Souls for Souls, and they provide shoes to kids in the developing world.
Mm.
And for, if you just run 4 miles, which is like a pretty manageable run, you can give a kid a pair of shoes. So we really like to have charities that enable people to have that real impact just by going for a regular run or walk.
Which is awesome. And now, and I didn't realize how lean you guys were. One of the questions I was going to ask is, you know, what, you know, just if you can estimate, you know, what percentage of the funds that people, you know, collect while they're running or whatever actually go directly to the charitable organizations versus, you know, wind up supporting the Charity Miles app itself?
Well, it's actually like 100% because the way it works, we don't take a percentage. Like, our corporate sponsors don't pay us 25 cents a mile. They pay me for advertising and achieving an advertising result for them. So just like they pay for advertising on your radio show or in a magazine, or actually more particularly with like things like mobile banner ads, they pay for engagements and impressions. And so I charge them for the engagements and the impressions, and then I translate that into 25 cents a mile. So when you're earning 25 cents a mile, you're really earning 25 cents a mile. You're not earning 25 cents a mile and I'm taking 5 cents.
Wow.
And so far, like 100% of all of the advertising money that I've gotten has gone to charity just because, you know, I'm a startup. And actually for the whole first year, I sponsored it myself because we didn't have any corporate sponsors because we weren't big enough yet.
Mm.
Like all the corporate sponsors wanted us to have an audience. So I just sponsored it myself so that I could build the audience. And once I had the audience, we started winning awards and we had this amazing community. Now, then the corporate sponsors wanted to start getting involved.
Yep. No, speaking of awards, now I know that, in fact, you guys won one of the South by Southwest awards. I think that was last year, right? Not this 2014.
We won two awards at last year's South by Southwest. We won the Dewey Winburn Award for Social Good, which is a tremendous honor because it's named after Dewey Winburn, who's one of the founders of South by Southwest. And we also won the People's Choice Award for the entire festival.
Mm.
And that was truly an honor. And because at that time, we were like a real outsider. You know, like I said, I was a lawyer. I'm not like dialed into the tech scene. So to show up at South by Southwest and win the People's Choice Award for the whole festival was somewhat of a coup and also like a tremendous honor.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. It had to be at least as much of an honor as being featured as a cool site of the week on the Tech Talk show here, I think.
Yeah, huge. Almost.
That is awesome. Yeah, and I can't recall how we stumbled across you here, but as soon as I started reading about the story and finding about the app and so on, like I said, it immediately clicked for me as well as just being a cool thing.
Awesome.
And it's so neat to see, too. A lot of times we'll pick out an app or two. We'll have a website or something that really intrigues us like this. I'll put it out there. We'll talk about it. And then, you know, 3 months later, I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to go back and play with this a little more. And it's gone. And so it's fantastic to see you guys pulling together, making this happen. You talked about community. I think, is that one of the ways, do you think that you're kind of enriching this, you know, the app and enriching the experience for people? Is that, I know you've got a blog. Is there an active community of people that are getting engaged with it at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I said it before, we're not an app, we're a team. And we really are. We've got 350,000 members around the country. And, you know, we very purposely didn't try to recreate a social network. So there's, like, no social network part of the app.
Mm-hmm.
But our members are just doing it organically themselves. And they tweet to each other on Twitter. They're messaging each other on Facebook. They're giving each other high fives and sharing photos on Instagram. And, you know, they're meeting up in real life. And they're just doing amazing things. And, you know, we've got this young woman, Anna Judd, who's going to start running across the country. She's got veterans meeting up with her all along the way. And it's I guess in the tech world that people say IRL. I didn't know what that meant, like where I was into this, and he's in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's about. It's, you know, it's truly social media, and it's encompassing, not just, you know, Facebook, Twitter, social media, but real social, face-to-face, look you in the eye, touch your heart, social media.
Yep. And looking through the blog that you guys have, which you've got a Tumblr blog, and those seems to be the focus of a lot of the stories, is really communicating that way that you are changing people's lives and making a difference for people.
Yep.
I mean,
every day I get emails from people telling me their stories, and I wish that I had. For a while we were doing a story a day. I just haven't been able to keep up with that because of, like I said, I'm a one-man show and we're growing pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've got some interns to help me out and start doing those stories more regularly. But we love to tell people stories on our blog. And you know, they do, they send the amazing, so like one woman lost 140 pounds with the app. We've got one woman who runs 13 miles a day in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, because she has two sons on the autism spectrum. We've got two sisters who live near each other in Boston, Massachusetts, and they walk their dogs every day in the morning for different causes, and they send me like pictures every day with the Boston weather report. I wouldn't know what to wear for the day if I didn't know what the weather was in Boston when they send me the weather report every morning. So it's just an amazing thing. The stories that I get are incredible. One woman emailed me that she got a 5-year-old son, and they walk to school, and every day he jumps up and down and reminds her to turn on Charity Miles because he wants to see how many like pieces of lumber he can earn for Habitat for Humanity.
Yep.
And to me, that's like the coolest thing, because like this kid's 5 years old, and like how is this boy going to grow up, and like how is he going to impact people because of the way that his worldview is being shaped? And that's like, I get a little choked up even just thinking about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, and that's kind of, and we were talking earlier about those things that drive us and that motivate us, and how this really hits even from, you know, someone so young, doesn't have that direct experience maybe with some of these issues, but they get it at a core level. You know, for me, you know, like I said, you know, when I really, I kind of had this shift in my life where I decided to get healthy and do all this fitness, and it was motivated because of some experiences that I had in my personal life with people who had, you know, died from preventable illnesses. And that was the thing that got me moving, was this kind of, I am not going to let this happen, you know, to me personally, but also mainly, I'm not going to let this happen to my family, that I'm going to have this happen. And I get that same feeling when I crank up Charity Miles and I'm picking the different charities that you can select from. You know, you think about people in other situations, and it can make you kind of angry. You know, you get upset, you get angry about it, and here's a way that you can not just, you know, pull out your pocketbook or do something else. This is a way you can actually burn steam off. You can say, I'm going to do something about it right now. Gosh darn it, I'm going to go run 2 miles and get that anger out, and at the same time, I'm actually helping make things better. So
yeah, we got this, like I mentioned, a woman who runs 13 miles a day. She has two sons on the autism spectrum. She works nights for Walmart. Her husband works as an accountant for the local John Deere. You know, things aren't easy. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, her hour and a half, 2 hours where she gets to go out and run each day is her time to blow off steam, kind of think about, you know, and it's almost like meditation. But it's also a way for her to, like, think about her sons and express her love for her sons. And, you know, when she told me about that and how Charity Miles helps her do that, like, it was, like, one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. And we actually, if you look online for a video for Denise Claycomb, like, you'll see a video that we made about her. It's really special.
Mm.
But not only that, and, you know, in terms of just raising money for these causes, diseases you mentioned, like, almost every disease is, you know, there's, and you'll read about it a lot these days, like, there's so many things like heart disease, cancer, depression, Alzheimer's are in some way related to obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can almost halve your risk of so many of these major diseases just by walking for 30 minutes a day. So while we're raising money to fight these diseases, that's great. But at the same time, if we can halve our risk of getting them, that just is even better. So a big part of this app is encouraging people to just get up, move, walk for 30 minutes a day. And if we can do that, then that's even better than raising money to fight them.
Yeah, yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah, it comes full circle. It's full circle. It's reaching out, you know, to give good and helping to bring good to you too, to yourself. You know, and kind of the same thing. You know, when I ran my first half marathon, I remember one of the tips somebody gave me to make it, you know, to get to the end and be excited about it every way, was to kind of dedicate different segments of the race to different people in your life that you wanted to give back to by this. And this makes it easier, and you're not just able to give back to the people in your own personal life, which you probably are giving something back anyways, but to actually extend that out and do it not just when you're doing a marathon, not just when you're doing a half marathon or something big like that, but whatever it is that you do and all
exactly.
that. So it just now I know
exactly.
I know you've got right now the run across America that's happening. How is that going to be promoted? Are we going to hear about that in our newspapers? Are they coming through some of the major cities? Are we going to see her in Chicago?
Yep. She won't be coming through Chicago. She's taking the southern route. So she's leaving today from the pier in Venice Beach. She's going to go through Arizona and New Mexico and Texas and all the way up through Louisiana, Mississippi, and then kind of loop around top of the East Coast. So she's not even doing like a straight route. She's taking it a little bit further and harder on herself. But you know, she wanted to run through some military communities.
Mm.
And so she kind of planned her route around that. And yeah, we're going to be getting press for her as much as we can through the journey, helping her tell her story. It's a beautiful story, and how she came to want to do this, and how she's trained to do it, and how she's using this. You know, she's run a lot of marathons and ultra marathons before, but she doesn't consider herself to be an athlete. She's an artist. She's a painter. She's a musician, and she considers this run to be her performance art. This is how she's making a statement and expressing how she feels about raising awareness for veterans.
Mm.
And to me, that's just an incredible way to think about this, because I can relate. When I started to run marathons for Parkinson's, it wasn't about the running so much as it was about me making a statement as to how much I cared about finding a cure for Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as Anna goes and as she moves across the country, a lot of people are going to be inspired by her, and the story is going to grow. And maybe we'll even have her on your show. We can maybe probably arrange a radio interview while she's running.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that would be very, very cool. Yeah, you and I definitely need to connect after the show and see if we can arrange that. I think that would be, especially since she's not going to make it up here through Chicago, to make sure that people are aware of what's happening. You mentioned, and I know that you are a very experienced marathoner yourself. Are you going to get out there for a day with her at any point?
Yeah, I'm going to run with her today, but I'm not going to. I don't think I'll be able to make it the whole 40 miles. That's a far way to go. I actually have a red-eye flight that I got to make tonight. But I'm going to run with her today. I'm going to try to meet up with her at different places along the route. She's finishing in New York, which is where I live, and she's going to finish at the Freedom Tower, which is going to be pretty special. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely going to be. And she does this. You know, she's very savvy on social media, so she tweets the entire time that she's going. If you want to follow her, her Twitter handle is @RunAnnaRun2014. It's ANNA. So RunAnnaRun2014.
Mm.
She's also using this really cool app called Hang With, which is kind of like a live streaming app that allows her to, you know, basically live stream a video of herself like anytime that she wants. And she'll do that from the road, and you'll be able to see where she is and see how she looks and how she's feeling and the sweat on her face and the smile on her face, or maybe the struggle on her face. And she's like I said, she's an artist, so she's always got these like really beautiful things to say. So that app is called Hang With, if you want to follow her on that. And she's, you know, she's got a website, which is AnnaRunsAmerica.com.
Mm.
So you can follow her on, and, you know, we're also just going to be driving a lot of press and telling her story on our blog and through our Twitter handle, and all of our social media. And it's really just quite a very special story.
Very, very cool, man. Oh, this is awesome. I'm so glad we were able, to connect today, Gene. And, I'm going to have to bring us to a close here. The one thing I didn't get to mention, you do have a Chicago connection too. I know as I am, you're an alum of Northwestern. So,
the Wildcat.
You got it. You got it. So, so people listening, locally here, don't think this is just for East Coasters or West Coasters.
Yeah.
It's nice out there now. It's time to get your shoes on and start walking. And if you're going to anyways, pull up the Charity Miles app. www.charitymiles.org is also a place you can find locations. I'm going to put a ton of these links and connections up on our website. I'm going to not do a quote-unquote cool sites of the week this week, because we're just going to put up the websites that you mentioned here and move forward from that. Gene, I'm going to let you run, literally, and and we got to blow
you
out of here, too.
About time to go.
Thank you so much for your time today. I have a feeling we're going going to be talking again very soon. And good luck to you. Good luck to Anna. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care. Thanks very much.
You too. Thank you, Gene. Take care.
Bye.
Take care, Gene.
Gene Gurkoff with CharityMiles.org. Just an awesome, awesome thing. What a very cool thing to do. What a very cool thing to be involved with. As I said, we're totally out of time for for Cool Sites of the Week. I'm going to let us go. I think we've got Rob Schott first going to be coming up on here in just a second. He's going to be talking, of course, a lot about science and the cool stuff happening in science these days, which there's a ton that is happening. I'm going to run us out of here with a podcast-only song of the week called Walking Backwards by The Leagues. Dave, anything you need to share with us before we sign off?
Love you guys. See you next week.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
That was Dave Sparky Saganaki. You've been listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. Don't run off. Like I said, you've got Rob Rigel from Rob Schott First coming on next, and I'm leaving you with Walking Backwards by The Leagues. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Have a great week.